When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It is the Blue Room. It is your instant match reaction to Luton Town 1, Everton 1 in the would-be relegation playoff. Alas, it wasn't to be like that. Joining me to talk about it are Dave Downey and Les Roberts. Les, thank God it wasn't the relegation playoff because everything about that game was horrible. We were horrible. They were horrible. That ground's awful. The kickoff time's crap. And I'm just glad I could sort of sit there and just not really feel too much about it, apart from three times.
Yeah, it just felt like how unbearable would that last like 20 minutes have been if we'd needed something from that game. We were bad, but it's probably the best we've played against Luton all season because they have been two horrific results and performances at home to them. Little bit of a bogey side for us, really. So it was like the mailbag earlier on. My hot topic on that was what's your irrational football hatred? Mine's Luton Town, because of the plastic pitch in the 80s, the Steve Foster headband. I just couldn't stand them. But predominantly because had we beaten them at their place, we'd have won the league. It's that simple. We've got 3 points. We'd have finished on 89. Liverpool would have had 88. We'd have won the league. So it's not a great place for us to go. Never has been. So yeah, you know, a draw, it doesn't really make any odds, does it? Which is nice. It's a nice position that we're in, that we can just sit back now and go, yeah, that was rubbish, but we move on to the next one, really.
Dave, how do you feel after that? Was it nice watching a game and not really having to worry too much, or were you fully invested once it kicked off?
I was, you know what, after the first 5 minutes, I was thinking, when's the last time we could actually watch a game without any sort of relief? And that was it wasn't the last day of last season, was it? You're looking back to 2022. I think it's taken us that long to comfort and the one goes far saying joy. That being said, I think, you know, looking at a game like that, it felt like it still needed to be something from us, something that, you know, add some sort of positive effect. And that's with already looking at an eye on what goes on in the summer, which, you know, predominantly I think is going to be very, very little in regards to transfers. So I think a game like that still needs to show something in terms of players that we need to rely upon, because that's what's going to happen. You know, sad as it is, I think, you know, this time, looking in 12 months' time, we're probably having a similar conversation at this rate, at this time of the season, where we're like, thankfully we've stayed up. Given everything that's to come, that doesn't look like it's going to be too positive for us over the summer. Team selection has been interesting for me, because I thought he could have gone with like a Shamiti, and he could have put Dobbin on there and could have just gone with something a little bit more enthusiastic in terms of the lads that are in and around there. Like you guys have said there, it's nice to go into a game where it doesn't really matter for us anymore. But he decided to go with his best 11 today, Dice, which is, I don't know, I'll have another think about this as time goes on across the weekend. I'm not too sure why you wouldn't have a go at what you've got there. I know we eventually put Shimizu on in the second half. I actually thought he was really good in terms of what he did. But yeah, in regards to performance, I actually didn't think that Luton caused as much problems at all in the first half. There was nothing really to pick for that to do. And then going up to the other end, I thought a tiny better side than us would have bagged 3 or 4 against them, because they are generally crap. We know our story this season and all that stuff. But for us to get a draw from that is pretty much a reflection on how poor they are as well, because they should have beaten us, really. Well, half-decent side would beat us there.
Yeah, it sort of felt like they had obviously worked loads on stopping us from set pieces and nullified us relatively well. I know we had like a few which were like bundled over and, you know, little opportunities here and there, but you know, I don't think we created as many opportunities as we would usually. And then obviously, as we all know, once you stop us from set pieces, from open play, we do leave a lot to be desired, don't we, from that aspect. But I suppose, Les, the main positives for me, and there's no point going too deep into the performance because we are done for the season now, effectively, so I can kind of understand why there was a bit of a lack of edge and a lack of intensity at times. But Dominic Calvert-Lewin and finishing the season well, isn't he? Not the best penalty again, like his one at Newcastle. I thought the goalie was gonna save it, but obviously he has that chance in the second half, which is, you know, I'm sure some people look at it and say it's a great leap. Others will look at it and say he should score once he gets up there. But 3 and 5 played obviously really well in the Merseyside derby as well. He's having a strong end of the campaign, which is great.
Yeah, it's good to see, isn't it? It's sort of, we were a bit despondent with him at a few points this season, especially when he came back. He scored against West Ham and then didn't score for months after that. So it is good to see. It was another good display. I do feel sorry for him in the fact that he won a hell of a lot of headers in that game, and there's no one off him. I think the one I can remember is he won a header on about the halfway line, and Godfrey like anticipated it, got the ball, got a free kick. I just don't think the players around him do that enough, and it must be dead frustrating for him knowing that the ball's going to come long, he's going to jump up, possibly going to win it. If he does, just going to give it away anyway because there's no one anticipating it. But yeah, it's good to see he's got the penalty, he scored it. It was all right. He hit it down the middle hard enough. He knew what he was doing. But yeah, I think that was a positive that he's ending the season relatively strongly in what's been a really tough season for him. Yeah, go ahead, Dave. I'll hand over to you after here.
No, I was just going to say, to follow up on what you said in terms of him, it's a thankless task that he wins the ball in the air. How we get up, I think Carragher was covering it, saying this, how he gets up is quite phenomenal, really, isn't it? How the jump he's got is ridiculous. And he's playing against like two big lads they've got there, the centre-back. But the point I was going to make was, the Corey looked anonymous to me today. And quite clearly, that is our go-to tactic, is if you're pinging it up to Calvert-Lewin, the Corey's got to be the man that runs onto this. I didn't see where he was. He was nullified by their players anyway, I think, when he had to drop into midfield. It just felt like it was a waste of a player to have on there. And that's not overly... But I'm not too sure, since he's come back, what his sort of role has been told it is this time. Because he's been our best player for a long, long time before he got that injury and then came back. He looks a little bit lost to me. And that's where Dice, I think, falls a little bit short. I'm looking at that and thinking, If I'm sitting there half an hour in the first half thinking, where's the Corey? How many touches has he had on the ball? Sean Dyche should be looking at that and thinking, how do I mix things up here? And he didn't until later in the second half, as per usual. Go ahead, Les.
No, there's been a lot of people saying, myself included, that it's probably time to try Dwight McNeil in that position. Because you can see, although Dwight McNeil is a really good player at getting to the byline and hitting a great cross in, you can see the way he plays. He doesn't want to do that role. He will drift inside now and leave that left flank empty. Basically, when he gets the ball, he cuts inside all the time. And I think he'd be a much better option in that position. Because as you say, the Corey, he's not doing anything to help the midfield. He's not doing anything to help the attack. He's just kind of there, isn't he? And it is like a wasted position, the way he's playing at the minute. So I think that's an easy sort of switch to make, and I think it would make a big difference to the attack. But yeah, I think it is on all the attacking players to get round Calvert-Lewin to meet these flick-ons. Because it, you know, and another thing as well is he's saying he's got that leak, Calvert-Lewin, which he has. That makes it all the more frustrating that we're not playing wingers to get to the byline and cross it in. You know, so we can, like, he can do what he did against Liverpool and meet across like that coming in. So it's, yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot of deficiencies there. They've been there all season. This is nothing new tonight. But it's stuff that needs to be addressed for next season, isn't it?
So does that not emphasise what I said there about just try something else? Just try. Yeah. And we've banged on about that so many times this season when we've been poor, had that horrendous run where we were 1-15 and the Mike Walker thing we've spoken about and all that. And I'm screaming every time I see him on the telly at Goodison, just fucking change something, try something else. Because if we're looking like we're going to get beat anyway, which has been what most of the high percentage of the season where we've lost games or certainly haven't won them, where's the thought behind, oh, I'll just keep it tight here. I know that's traditional and conventional, Sean Dyche, but when you're safe in the Premier League, when is a better time, you know, to try, not to try this, you know? And he did, to be fair, when he put Schmitty on in the second half. I'd like to see more out of him in the last couple of games. I'd like to see what he can do. The lad looks all right to me. And when I've seen him, he throws himself about. He looks decent on the ball as well. You know, it's that or Beto. He came on and caused a little bit of havoc and stuff like that. But just try something new. If we'd have gone there, like, ask you two, that's the question. We'd have gone there and lost 2-1, 3-1. Would you be that arsed?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Well, yeah, no, but like, I don't know.
I was to say that to you, we got to try, like, because Schmitty started last against Brentford, didn't he?
Yeah,
but like, so why not do that? Carry on giving him a go.
Well, I've got no issue with the team, really. Like, we just won 3 games in a week with, like, and that was the team for most of it. Like, we've not won loads of games this season. We've not won loads of games this year. Like, why? Why change it? They've had a week off.
Like, it means we're going to bring in. It doesn't mean anything.
I'm just going to say, like, Calvert-Lewin, we've been saying how well he's been playing. Why wouldn't you get him on the pitch in that instance? The core, I could maybe understand. Like, if I was going to bring any of them out tonight, he would have been the one. Fullbacks, we've got nobody else who can play in those positions, really. Coleman, obviously, has just come back from injury. Out wide, what would be the point in playing Dan Juma? He's not going to be here next season. You know, Harrison might be here next season. So I don't mind him getting the game ahead of them. And then in midfield, you've got Onana, who's probably not going to be here next year, and Gomez, who definitely won't be here next year. So, like, I don't really know what, like, barring playing Schmitty and going two up front, like, what else could he have done with the team?
There's Dobbin there, who, again, I've banged on.
Again, he's just come back from a long term. He's been off for 6 weeks.
Didn't he play for the kids the other day?
But he's not played senior football for over 6 weeks.
He was on the bench. He should be. It probably sound like I'm 85 years old here, but if you're on the bench, surely you're good enough to play. I'd like to see, now we're safe, Matt, and regardless, forget what I've said there about players and whatnot. Why not just try something else? Do something else. Show me what you can show next season. When we're in this predicament, if we don't sort out finances and all that nonsense that is yet to be sorted out across the summer, hopefully in the stadium, boxed off and whatnot, you get into next season and you persist with the same thing we've done all season. I don't think you're going to be in a position that we've got to now with, what, 3 games to go? And we're like, rightly so, we're sat here now and talking to each other about when's the last time you've been able to look at an Everton game and not feel as nervous about it as we have done for the last, well, best part of 3 years, for the best part of all our games. I'm just looking at it maybe from a wider point of view, thinking, well, what else can you show from us here, Sean? If there's a time to do that, look, and I'm not saying it's a friendly, although probably sounding to many listeners here that I am, but I just want to see what else he's got in his locker for us should we need to use it. And the amount of time at the start of the season that many people were saying Everton are really lucky because the three teams that have came up are all probably the worst three sides that have ever came up to the Premier League. That probably came to bear fruit, didn't it, where we are right now. And yet we've done it because of a week of being top class, a week of being really, really good. Notably, a week of being what standard Sean Dyche is like. Those three performances were typical Sean Dyche. They were trademark Sean Dyche. Fine. They were three games at Goodison. They were three games at Goodison. Sort of ironic because we've been crap at Goodison all season, but he finally sorted something out for us there. What I'm saying is, you're a Premier League side. You can't just bang on with the same thing you've got over and over and over again. And that's why I'm saying that these last couple of games we've got, maybe the opportunity to try something a little bit different there.
We've kind of had that all season, haven't we, where he's played the same players the whole time. You know, like early on this year, we were saying like Dwight McNeil looks knackered. A lot of the players look tired, especially when we came through Christmas into January, bang in the middle of that run. We were saying, you know, he should change it, and that's when he should have changed it. But I can kind of see both sides of the argument, because I can see why now you're safe, you try something different. You know, you put maybe, I think Dobbin probably should have come off the bench, considering he's not played in a long time. He was on the bench, probably should have brought him on at some point. But anyway, but I can also see the other side of it in the fact that, like Matt said, he's found something that's worked in these last three games, and you want to finish the season as strongly as you possibly can. Now, I guess after the three wins at home, that draw at Luton, not a great result, but it's a point away. You know, if you win your home draw, you're away, you're going to be in the top-ish spots, aren't you? So, I don't know, you might be looking for momentum now. Just like trying, this is all going to go tits up at Arsenal anyway, but try and have a strong end to the season. I can see the argument why, yeah, we're safe, just try something different. But can also see that, like, okay, yeah, we are safe, but we don't want to just like fall off a cliff because we're safe. Because that just doesn't set a good tone around the whole thing, does it? If you finish the season like you just got safe and you gave up, it's not great for anyone at the club, is it? So I can see both sides. I think he could possibly use his subs a bit more, a bit better. But we said that all season, really.
I think he did tonight, to be fair. You know, we brought the two strikers on, changed the entire midfield. No manager in that situation, I think, would just change the entire team for the sake of it.
I take your point. He hasn't got the players to do so. I'm saying here or there, and I'm saying even try something tactically different. Where's the harm in doing so right now? But I do concede your point, what you said about Calvert-Lewin there, because clearly he does need the game time, and to have him going into the summer with a bit of momentum is a real positive out of that. But other than that aside, you know. And I just like to see something different there. You're saying we're going to a side there that are absolutely shite. We should be doing them. You know, what's the manager? What's his name? The model
Edwards.
Edwards. There. You see him in midweek. What do you think he's doing tactically? Everton going to throw in corners and just try and find the ball in the air and try and score past us. That's go to Everton. Fine, but just Sean, you say let me word it better. People looking at this game thinking, oh, we're all going down to Luton. And we mentioned it ourselves at the start of this. Well, we're safe now. And when's the last time you felt okay watching an Everton performance where it doesn't effectively matter, really? And we haven't for years. But the time that we are, we're still sticking to the rigid setup that he's done all season, that has cost us a lot of points.
But you still want to win, don't you?
That's
massive. No, I'm not saying...
He's found that thing in the last week that's worked. You still want to win these games. It's like... Howard Kendall said it years ago when we were in relegation trouble, and he said, I hope the opposition aren't wearing flip-flops. That's something Everton have notoriously done over the years. They've, like, they've got safe, or they've, like, in the 80s won the league and then not won for the next, like, three or four games or something like that. And it doesn't set a good tone, I don't think.
No, I totally agree.
I think
what,
you need...
But you have a 3 months of summer.
But, like...
Yeah, I don't know, but to end the season, to give up just because you're safe.
I'm saying try something else. I'm not saying everyone wave the white flag and see if one of our shit players can score.
Why don't we just try something else? They won three games in a week playing really well, didn't concede a goal. Like you said, you want to see something different. I want to see more of that. Like, I want to see us winning games and not conceding.
Yeah,
like,
obviously you want to see us winning. I'm talking about when we're safe. That's it. Simply when we're safe. That these last three games, right? You tell me a club that stay. Yeah, who's above us? They're Brentford. Do you reckon Brentford? Do you reckon what's his name? The manager, Danish fella, Thomas Frank. Do you think he'll be sitting there thinking, "Oh, we've got to carry on winning these games"? You know, lads, to get into the summer.
Played the full strength team at Goodison last week, and they were safe.
You what?
He played the full strength team last week at Goodison and the safe.
I know he does. That's what I'm saying. He's done exactly the same as us. But what I mean is about these last games that are coming up. Yeah, you've got Euros to come in the summer. You've got players we might well go and sign, as you hinted to there, with Onana, possibly Branthwaite, whatever goes on there as well. Loads of things are going to be up in the air this summer. Why aren't we focusing on playing an 11 that's our best 11 when there are things that he could try differently? When's the next time he's going to get an opportunity to do that in a Premier League game where generally going somewhere where we don't have to win a game? That's just my take on it. I completely get what you're both saying there. If you see what's happened in three games, you see the way Everton have played, kept three clean sheets and played really well at Goodison for the first time in a long time. Absolutely, you're spot on. That's what you want to see more of. I'm just saying, when we've got past the line we needed to, is that the time to try something a little bit different? I'm not talking, I'm not talking about shifting everything all over the place. I'm just thinking that he's standing there thinking, you know what, we've done this same thing every game this season. Is there a different thing I can look at now that I can possibly use when we come back in August? That's all.
I don't know. We had 3 weeks in Portugal and didn't change anything, did he? So
yeah.
just quickly on the Euros.
Patterson anywhere to be seen yet, by the way? Is his jaw back?
Injured, didn't he?
Is injured with his jaw.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Ross Barkley played himself into the Euros there tonight?
Oh, Carragher was absolutely loving him on Sky, wasn't he? Jesus Christ.
He's the best player by a mile, and if it wasn't Ross Barkley, I'd happily have him back at Everton. If it wasn't Ross Barkley.
No, absolutely not.
No, I mean, if it wasn't him, with his history with us, a player like he played tonight, you'd have him at Everton.
But I didn't think he was that good. I don't know.
Well, again, that's it. I mean, the context...
Maybe I watched a different game.
He used to like a lot of switching. Like, he just switched it all the time, and then, like, gave it away. It's like, he just looked like the same player. And like, I speak that Steve Moore is a Luton fan. He was sort of saying that he seems like one of those players, like, unless everything's going to go through him, then he's probably not going to work for you. And we don't play the ball on the floor through midfield, which is what you need to do to get the best out of him. So I don't know.
Is he going to be free in the summer, by the way?
What was that?
Is he free in the summer?
Yeah.
So
he is free in the summer.
Yeah, I still say he doesn't walk into our midfield.
If it wasn't Ross Barkley, he'd walk into our midfield.
You've got to have some sort of, like, the way he screwed the club over. I mean, come on, you've got to have some.
No,
kind
I'm not.
Of,
I'm
like,
taking, I'm taking
well
that away.
And
if he was Jimmy Grimble who plays for Luton, right? Yeah, and he was just Ross Barkley, but not him. He's got the Everton history and being a bell end and all that. The way he plays, everything he's got about it. He'd walk into Everton's midfield.
Probably get him, but
that's a moot point.
I don't think the way he plays suits him in any way, shape, or form. I don't think there's much between him and like a James Garner, really.
Hmm.
What do you think of him tonight, Matt?
Well, the manager dragging him off after 55 minutes probably said more than anything I could say, didn't it?
There's the yellow card after 10 minutes that Rech Myers.
Carrying on like talking about crap things, like obviously the theme of this podcast. The referee tonight, Jesus Christ. Like,
where did you get him from?
I've never seen him before. He looked like absolutely knackered after about 5 minutes. And then I think the one on McNeil was definitely a penalty, by the way, in the first half. I think that's the most clear cut penalty of them all.
Beto's one as well. Beto's was nailed on penalty as well when he gets past that line.
That could have been. The Brantford one obviously is. There's another one, I think, when Harrison has the shot where there's someone all over Calvert-Lewin. And then there's like a couple of times where like Calvert-Lewin was having a shirt rag and Beto was having a shirt rag. And he gave free kicks to the other way. He was absolutely horrendous.
Does that nullify the whole Notts Forest argument now then?
Yeah.
We should have had about 5 penalties tonight to their 3 at Goodison, maybe.
Well, they would have wrote another letter, wouldn't they? Because they obviously would have. Maybe they will. Maybe that's what they'll do. So yeah, Everton should have had 3 points there. But do you know what? A little tiny part of me thought, wouldn't it be funny if Luton scored after the allotted 6 minutes? Imagine that the absolute hissy fit Forest would have had over that. Yeah, the owner sat there at home on his laptop with the statements ready to press enter. Just that ball was going towards the goal.
Call back Mark Clattenburg, right? What's the protocol of playing over the allotted time?
When that shot from Townsend at the end was going towards the bottom corner, and he was hovering over that send button, and then Bradley kicked it away, and he's just living in his drafts right now until next weekend.
Morpheus trying to get back in the Matrix if that happened, wouldn't he?
Oh my God. Yeah, he's just.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I just was like so bad.
He was like that dud we got for the Brighton game, the sort of East Sussex Sunday League referee we got for Brighton. He was reminiscent of him, wasn't he?
Well, do you reckon he's been thrown on because it was a Nottingham game for us?
Wasn't it? It was the Brighton fella, I think.
Oh, it was the same fella.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
That's obviously.
Did not know his name?
Something Robinson, I think. He's just like one of these new like regen referees, isn't he? Like,
yeah, do throw in on the sly?
Yeah. But he was awful. Schmitty was quite good, Les, wasn't he, when he came on?
Yeah, I think the last two games he's been, you know, he's shown that he's got the thing that sort of shocked me was to see someone like with a bit of pace, like going forward and like legging it for the ball and having a foot race with like one of the defenders. That was nice to see because we don't see it very often. But yeah, do you know what? Last two games, I think he's worth, as I suppose, as Dave said. He's worth having a look at, you know, give him more minutes to maybe start. But again, to that point, Calvert-Lewin is probably going to be our main striker again next season. So you've got to, if you can build his confidence and his fitness for next season, you've got to do that. But yeah, he looks decent. A lot better than Beto. I know, Dave, I think you said that was probably a penalty on him where he got dragged back. But
yeah,
the thing that frustrated me was you knew the second he got round that defender, he was going down.
And he was putting it wide if he had the shot anyway.
Well, yeah, but he's far too quick to go down in that situation, isn't he? It's like he can make a nuisance of himself, get round the defender, but then he'll look for the foul. It's mad. I don't know if that just screams of him just being bad, no confidence, bit of both. I don't know, but yeah. I'd throw Chimitti in ahead of him all day.
You think of someone like, this is holding him to a high standard better, but you think of someone like Rom in that exact situation, it would be, get the fuck off me, wouldn't it? I am going for it. The amount of times he just bundled his way through a defender into the box and like someone was next to him and he would just... And listen, Beto's a strong lad. He's a fast lad. Obviously not as technically good as Ron was, but it's one of them. Like, for all this like endeavour and enthusiasm, Les, I think you're right. In that situation, maybe he just doesn't have that sort of goal scorer's instinct and desperation to get in and have a shot. Maybe that's because he's not very confident and he wouldn't fancy the shot as Dave said.
Because he's got everything he needs to get in that situation. If he then gets in that situation and skies it, that's a different matter. But he kind of gets himself into that position and then like goes for the foul. So that just shows a striker who's got sort of no confidence in his own ability, I think.
Mm.
But yeah, I'd put Chimiti ahead of him all day, really.
You can see Dave as well. Chimiti is, I think, one of the things that was reported. The reason he liked him is he's got a similar profile to Dom, and there are some little, if you're gonna compare him to one of the two senior strikers, he is more Calvert-Lewin, isn't he? His touch is better. There's a little bit more nuance to his game as opposed to, you know, trying to barge down the door with blunt force, as it seems with Beto at times.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the rare occasions that we've seen him, certainly with the start last week as well. I completely agree with what you've said there. There are facets of his game where you look at and think he complements Calvert-Lewin as well. I think he's a lot faster than him as well. Obviously, air-wise, no one's beaten Dom that we have in any sort of capacity, really, apart from Branthwaite, if he was just striking himself. Do you know what I mean? That's set-pieces-wise. I don't think you're going to get what you get from Calvert-Lewin in there. But that's... don't want to bang on what about I said there, but I'd like to see more from him than bringing Beto on there, like Les was saying. You've got a lad there that was brought in. A few quid we spent on him, is
about
it?
13 million, wasn't it? Yeah.
I mean, the way we are at the moment, mate, 13 quid's a lot of money for us, do you know what I mean? So you can get someone in like that. Where are we seeing him? And there was enthusiasm from him when he came on. A little bit of an edge to him, it looked like, as well, like sort of kicking off and all. He was getting free kick awards against them, and seemed really enthusiastic. And I get why that kind of play is being bought by us. And I hope, or I think, more out of hope, that it was done because they've considered Calvert-Lewin's injury and how many occasions he's going to play this season, which is going to be less than more. You've gone for a player there who isn't too dissimilar to him. So, yeah, I mean, dare to say, I think it's actually a decent piece of bit of business there. And look, going back to the criticism I said about thinking a little bit beyond what I said there about the criticism of Dice not changing things up. Probably if Everton was safe and a mid-table side didn't have the point deductions and whatnot, you probably would have seen him in another 10, 15 games coming off the bench and seen a hell of a lot more about him than we actually have. But from what we've seen the last couple of weeks tonight and starting last week, there's a lot of things that I've sort of look promising.
Yeah, I think the thing with him as well, like, I don't think playing up front for us is easy at the moment. Like, you know, you see the way Calvert-Lewin gets battered and has to chase everything as well. So I can kind of understand why he's, obviously he had to play him last week because we had no other options, but I can kind of get why he's just holding him back and drip feeding him minutes in the Premier League, because he is still young. It is robust. It is unforgiving task, having to just chase the ball over and over again. And maybe he'd probably benefit more from 30 minutes against tight defenders off the bench than an hour starting games against yard defenders like they've got. So
do you not think we've got Sheffield United next game? You throw him on, you start him.
The one change I would be tempted to make, you know, not, I don't know who's going to be back since fitness, but I'll be tempted to take the core out and play Chimiti and Dom together. Because
yeah, good shout.
The core is just, I don't know what's going on there. You know, it felt like when he came back, like he was going to fix everything, but he's just looked like his legs are on the wrong way, hasn't he? Since he's come back into the team, I don't know quite what's going on there. But that's probably a chat for later in the week, really. But just wanted to finish off with something I was laughing my head off at. I don't know about you lads, but did Ashley Young kid absolutely anybody by pretending to take that penalty?
Oh, mate, I was loving it. I was absolutely shitting myself. Absolutely, yeah.
Did you both think he was going to take it? I did not
absolutely.
I think it was hoping more than anything.
Oh my God. It was so obvious that he was just doing that, protecting the ball. Even Calvert-Lewin was like sort of edging forward behind him on the camera.
Where I found it funny was he's doing that. He's bouncing the, like it's a basketball for a few seconds. And then when he looks straight at Eddie, he's got like this little snide look on his face. And then I all of a sudden realised, thinking, you're looking at our fans there, you know, mate. You're not looking at the Luton fans who you want to take the piss out of there. You know, part of me would have liked him to take it, but yeah, it would have been absolute chaos if he did and missed it. But out of that side as well, he was fouled when they scored, by the way.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I don't think he was, you know. All
you don't think he was?
I don't think it was, no, either.
I mean, he's the thing is, he's weak as piss anyway, so even if he wasn't fouled, then he still certainly wouldn't.
It's a weird one, that, because, like, I don't really, obviously it is his fault, but you can't really blame him. Like, it's one of them, like, he can't really get taller and stronger in that, that instant, can he? The lad just absolutely like monsters him off the ball.
He shouldn't have been the player who was like tasked with trying to mark him in that situation, although, you know, the player did drop off into that right back spot, so it was his player. But you can't, I don't think you can blame him for that, because it's just like going up against a lad who's twice the size. Yeah, there's not much you can do.
There we go. If there's something on the game,
it's like me trying to mark you, Dave. It would never happen.
It's one of them.
If passing on me, that'd be all right, mate. I didn't cope if it was in the air. I'd love to play for Sean Dyche, mate. Not a problem, nah.
Thought Ben Godfrey was all right again as well.
Yeah, fine.
He was having a good run, but other than that, I've not. That's you, lads.
Just a gay as well, mate. I think it's just a gay. He's got to a stage for us, and thankfully so, in the last half dozen games when he's come back in.
One thing on him.
Yeah.
Why was he wearing tights?
Oh, I mate, noticed that, yeah.
May. It's not cold. It's the warmest it's been in ages.
I don't know at all why that was the case there.
He's just talked himself out of a contract extension for me.
I think he's getting a bit too big for his boots after scoring two or three games and putting all the flash gear on.
He'll be wearing like white boots next or something.
Snood on.
Yeah. We wouldn't have won those three games without him competing in there, though, I'll say that.
I think
he's been excellent.
Yeah. I mean, all joking aside, I think the midfielder looks a lot better with him in it than with him not in it. He's been great.
Yeah.
His positional side play, I think, has been brilliant. I think he's been in the correct place when someone's waiting to square the ball off or check back or anything like that. I think he's been different than when we got him back for the second time. So when he came back from PSG, I was thinking he's just come in for some money. He's not going to play a game here, even though we were all delighted he came back. Obviously, the first time he came in. Do you know what I'd add to that as well? I think quite funny is that he actually can pass the ball these days. Because that's the thing that destroyed his game when he played for us. Great at tackling people and all that. But if you ask him to pass a ball more than 5 yards, the lad starts shaking like a dog having a shit. Do you know what I mean? So he's been a hell of a lot better with that when he came back.
There we go. Ultimately, none of this matters because we're safe. So
also make some changes then, Matt. Change things.
Dave wants Andy Lonergan in goal for his farewell.
He's the only keeper for him left back. Virginia.
Lonergan in goal, Virginia in midfield. Mackenzie Hunter and have one of those made up youth players in midfield. we might see some of those, who knows? The last games at home are always bad, aren't they? So I remember Tom Davis playing in the last home game of the season and thinking, oh my god, superstar of the future. And look, you know, doesn't always work out, does it?
My thoughts on Tom Davis.
He could be back at Goodison on Saturday, couldn't he?
Oh,
Christ.
I was gonna say that. Do you reckon he'll be on the lap of honour if he comes back?
Yeah, him and Holgate will join it, yeah.
Yeah, get Ross Tanner as well, see what happens.
Getting the band back together. but yeah, we will leave it there anyway. Cheers to Les and Dave. Let us know what you think about the stuff we were talking about at the start. Do you want to see Andy Lonergan in goal against Sheffield United, or do you think we should go with our full-strength side for that game and try and finish off on a high? You know, 4 wins and a draw from the 5 games in a row, that'd be sound. And then obviously we'll go and spoil Arsenal's party on the last day as well. So loads to come yet this season. Up the top, we'll catch it again soon here on the Blue Room.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.